And welcome back to Presh Reviews, because my name is Presh, and usually I review a movie, but this is going to be our year-end wrap-up episode for 2024. So, yeah, I guess I'm reviewing the year, so the name Presh Reviews is still correct, right? And before we begin our discussion about the movies of the year and the various categories, I want to give two caveats before we begin. The first being that I haven't seen two movies by two directors that I love. The first being Anora by Sean Baker, and that's because that movie only comes out on the 31st of January in South Africa. It's actually already out in streaming, but I didn't want to stream it. I wanted to get the full movie experience. And the second one is Nosferatu, which actually came out today, but I have no idea when it's going to come out in South Africa, and that is directed by Robert Eggers. I actually call him Bobby Eggs. And if I had to give a reason why I love each one, it's Sean Baker chooses unorthodox main characters. It's people on the edges of society that, generally movies aren't made about. And he tells those stories, and that's what I love from a Sean Baker movie. Robert Eggers, I believe, was like a set designer, or, he had a background in production before he became a director. And the thing I know about him is that he goes into excruciating detail in terms of like historical accuracy and like getting everything right, and I think that's pretty cool. Both of them made like really good movies. I love from Sean Baker, I think Red Rocket is my favorite, and from Robert Eggers, it's The Lighthouse, which was actually the number one movie in the year it came out for me. So yes, I hold them both in very high esteem. The second caveat I need to make is that I haven't seen Baby Girl and The Brutalist, which are two movies getting rave reviews, but I'm not familiar with the director or the writers for each of those movies, so I can't say, ooh, I'm excited for it, because, yeah, I haven't come across their work before, so, yeah. Oh, sorry, that was all the first caveat, that I haven't seen those four movies. The second caveat is that Megalopolis, the new movie directed by Francis Ford Coppola, defies a rating. On any given day, I may say that it's a 10, or I may say that it's a 1. So I've excluded it from consideration for these awards, because I think it'll make people angry if I put it at number 1. But yeah. But like I said, it is variable for me, so, right. And I want to start off with biggest disappointment of the year. And for it to have been a disappointment, I have to have had expectations of it. So, movies I had no excitement for, I exempt. Like, let me think, something stupid. Harold and the Purple Crayon. I had no hope that that movie would be good in any sense, so the fact that it flopped is, it's not a disappointment for me, right? But truth be told, none of the movies I was excited for are here, right? Dune, Furiosa, and Gladiator all were great. So, number 5, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. And the Planet of the Apes movies have been quietly one of the better action franchises of the last 15 years or so. That's why it was such a disappointment that this movie is just fine. Also, I mentioned this in my review, but the word kingdom implies like a grandiosity to things. And this movie is just set on a small patch of beach, which was also very disappointing in terms of the scale of the movie. Number 4, Long Legs. I've mentioned many times on this podcast that I'm a massive fan of Nicolas Cage, especially his newer work like Pig, Mandy, and Dream Scenario, right? Secondly, everyone was talking about this movie. Even my brother mentioned it to me, who is not a big movie guy. So not only was this movie bad, it was kind of boring. I actually contemplated walking out of the theater multiple times while I was watching it. I was just one of the worst movies of the year. Number three, Kinds of Kindness. And I'm a big fan of Greek director Yorgos Lanthimos, and this was his latest offering, and it sucked. It's a movie made up of three short stories, and the first story is fine, but I really struggled to pay attention in the second and third stories because they were kind of boring. Yeah, I hope for better from Yorgos in the future because he's made some really excellent movies. Academy Award nominated movies, and I think Kinds of Kindness was just like a big step back in terms of, his quality. Very similarly, in number two, we have Civil War, right? So I didn't like Captain America 3 because, it's a joke, folks, it's a joke. We make good jokes here, right? But yeah, Civil War. I'm a huge fan of the director Alex Garland, and Civil War was not at all what I expected, and it's actually a very average movie. I gave it a 7 in my review, but in hindsight, it should have been a 6 because yeah, it's the more I think about it, the less I actually like it. So, yeah, Civil War, not great. And number one, the number one most disappointing movie of the year, Deadpool and Wolverine. And that's because I really liked the first Deadpool movie and I thought the second one was fine, but this one was so aggressively bad it made me upset. The CGI is awful, the plot is stupid, and none of the jokes landed for me. So, truly just a giant disappointment, especially because the reviews were going on about it like it was amazing. Now, the total opposite of the biggest disappointment is the biggest surprise of the year. And the word surprise can have a positive or a negative connotation. We are using that word in a positive sense, right? This list is not in terms of quality of the movie, it's in terms of how surprised I was, right? Okay, so number five, Inside Out 2. In my predictions episode from last year, I said that Inside Out 2 would be bad and would destroy the legacy of the first Inside Out. Now, it's not a masterpiece, but it's a strong 8 out of 10 movie, which is way better than I thought it would be. So I was pleasantly surprised by how good Inside Out 2 was. Yeah, I expected like a 6 maybe, and it was an 8. So yeah, big win in my books. Number 4. Which was Gladiator 2. So I had never seen the first Gladiator movie, but I was floored by the set pieces and the complex story of the Gladiator 2. But I wasn't surprised so much. That's why it's number four, it's not number one. It's not such a shock that this movie is great because actually, I should say it's great for me because apparently people don't like this movie. And yeah, so Gladiator 2 is the sequel to a Best Picture winning movie, so it's not a shock that this is also a great movie. So yeah, I actually gave it a 10 out of 10. Number 3 is The Substance, and I had never heard of the director before. Her name is Coralie Farjé, and this is her second movie, and I was totally blown away by how well made and how much this movie had to say. It not my biggest surprise of the year, but incredible movie. I gave it a 9 out of 10. Number 2 is Monkey Man. So I've known about Dev Patel for a while, obviously because of Slumdog Millionaire, but this was his directorial debut, and it was far better than I thought it would be. He actually like the I just want to say it also included a healthy amount of social commentary in an action movie, which is not shocking, but it's not something that's done often. So I applaud him for that. I gave this movie an 8 out of 10. Right? And in number one, the most surprising movie of the year was Challengers. And so I just went to see this movie because the trailer implied there would be a threesome between Zendaya, Mike Feist, and Josh O'Connor. Like, I was imagining a Eiffel Tower situation happening here, right? But the movie is actually expertly directed by Luca Guadagnino and scored by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. And the three leads had a lot of chemistry going on between them. I truly enjoyed this movie and I gave it a 9 out of 10. Luca Guadagnino, the reason it was the biggest surprise is because I wasn't a fan of his I've only ever seen one of his movies before, and that was Call Me By Your Name, which I did not enjoy. So seeing Challengers, I was pleasantly surprised by how good it was. Now, the comic book rankings for the year, or comic book movie rankings for the year. And in fifth place, I have Deadpool and Wolverine, which was a 5 out of 10. I also spoke about it in the biggest disappointment section, but again, just a horrible movie comparable to that horrid Spider-Man movie from a few years ago, the one where all the other Spider-Mans get together. It's just fan service for the sake of fan service. And that's how I felt this Deadpool and Wolverine movie was a lot. In fourth place, I have Kraven, which it actually used real sets and, some interesting action pieces. Okay, his acting was pretty awful and the plot was really dumb, and yeah, even the dialogue was weird. So that's why I also give it a 5, but I liked it slightly more than Deadpool and Wolverine. In third place, I have Venom, which I also gave a 5. So it's actually been a very disappointing year in terms of comic book movies, just 3 fives so far. And with Venom, I thought there was a big opportunity missed. Spoiler alert if you haven't seen the movie, but Venom is an ooze, right, or a symbiote, and we have a number of different symbiotes, and they get like, what's the word, trapped behind a in a cell for most of the movie. It would have been cool to see all the symbiotes, like, a team of Venoms where Venom leads all these symbiotes. That would have been cool, but just having them like hide for most of the movie was kind of shitty, and yeah, I wasn't impressed by this movie at all, but slightly better than Kraven. And in second place, also a 5, I have Madame Web, which may make some people upset because people really hate Madame Web, but I had more fun with it than I did with Venom, Kraven, and Deadpool and Wolverine. Madame Web, there's like, it's a so bad it's funny type situation where, like, I derive joy from, how bizarre and silly things were at times. So maybe for the wrong reasons, but nevertheless, I also gave it a 5, and I enjoyed it way more than the previous three mentioned comic book movies. And in first place, I have Joker Folie à Deux, which I gave a 6 out of 10. So it's not like it's, out of this world. It's only slightly better than the others, but this is a default winner because, yeah, I thought it was the same quality as the first one. I thought the first one was a 6 out of 10, but apparently people thought it was like this, like unbelievable masterpiece, which I disagreed with at the time, and people are bashing the second one like it's the worst movie ever made, and I'm like, no, that's not it either. Both movies are 6 out of 10s, and very non-offensive movies. So yeah. Well, I think people will be upset with me saying the joke is unoffensive. He likes to do rude things, so I guess he is offensive in that way, but I mean, I wasn't offended by the movie. I don't think there's. Actually, I was. actually was offended by the movie. There's a graphic rape scene. Well, not graphic, it's implied. And so I was outraged. I don't know what I'm talking about here. Let's just move on. Then we get to the best TV show season, right? And recently I binged a show to catch up before I watched the third season, and that TV show is called Industry. I had a Succession style itch in my body that needed scratching, and a friend of mine told me Industry is a lot like Succession. And I have to say, it is not like Succession. Nothing is like Succession. Industry is just a good show on its own, and I gave that an 8 out of 10. Well, the season, not the show as a whole. In fourth place, I have Ted, which for some reason they made a TV show about the Talking Bear movie by Seth MacFarlane, and I thought, okay, this is gonna be awful. There's no way this is gonna be good. I'm just gonna watch it, for no reason at all. And the Ted TV show is way funnier than it has any right to be. Truly, if you have some time and you're looking for a comedy, sit down and watch the Ted TV show. I gave it an 8 out of 10 as well. In third place, I have The Penguin, which is kind of like The Sopranos set in Gotham City. It's just, another one I had no high hopes for, but we follow the Penguin as he's a low-level mobster, and his shenanigans trying to, get up high in the world. And just, if TV shows were allowed in my biggest surprise section, I think the Penguin would be close to number one, if not number one itself, because it really, I was shocked by how much I enjoyed the Penguin. So I'm gonna give it an 8 out of 10. In second place, I have Shogun, which is a, I don't know if it's a Japanese show or an American show made about Japan. It's probably American, but yes, I truly enjoyed it so much. It was, it scratched a Game of Thrones style itch that I have. It reminded me of peak TV, I was really coming back every week just to check in with everyone, and it was like a really excellent experience. A lot of my friends were also watching Shogun. We were talking about it week to week. I'm actually led to believe this is a remake of a TV show from the 70s, maybe. So I don't know how it compares to that previous one, but to me, it was a 10 out of 10 show. It was supposed to be a limited series, but because of how good it was and the fan reaction, they've actually ordered a season 2 for Shogun. So, that's how good it was. But in first place, we have X-Men 97. And I'm gonna be honest, I've never liked the X-Men that much, right? But like, it took me like 2 weeks to catch up with the original X-Men series from the 90s, and then I watched X-Men 97 week to week, and it rocked my world. I have to apologize to the mutants, to Charles Xavier and Eric Lensher, the Magneto. My apologies, you guys fucking rock. The Avengers are bitch-made losers in comparison. The X-Men, top of the world, unbeatable. Magneto is my favorite, the master of magnetism. You don't mess with the master of magnetism. All right. Now we get into the acting categories, and we're gonna start off with best actor. And my first nominee is Paul Mescal from Gladiator 2. If you listen to my review, I said that there's a very emotional scene between Paul and his mother. I forget what her name is at the moment, but that scene made me cry. It was so emotional, it was so tender, and his performance in this movie I also enjoyed quite a lot, especially his what's the word, monologue at the end, where he speaks of the dream of Rome. I thought that was a very excellent moment, right? My next nominee for Best Actor is Sebastian Stan in A Different Man, which is a movie about a man with a severe facial deformity, and he finds it very hard to live with that. And he finds a way to get surgery to make his face quote unquote normal. And then he comes across a man with similar face issues, and that man is at peace with himself and, secure with himself. So he begins, oh, Sebastian Stan begins to become jealous of this guy who, he was in the same situation as him before, and hijinks ensues. And I think it was such a brilliant performance, right? My next nominee is Josh Hartnett for Trap, another movie that I'm really high on that people seem to hate, but I thought this was a excellent performance from Josh Hartnett. This is his first leading role in quite a while. Yeah, he there's just like a psycho look in his eyes that you can't teach somebody how to do that. They just have to have that. And yes, Josh Hartnett really brought it, and I enjoyed it a lot. My fourth nominee is Dev Patel for Monkey Man. I just spoke about how much I enjoyed Monkey Man, and a big part of it was Dev Patel and his acting. I spoke about in my review that it's not like John Wick, who's the amazing killer. This guy gets beat up, he gets beaten to like a pulp, but he's more like a Rocky, who stands up every time after he gets beaten down. And that's what's compelling about it. And yeah, I really enjoyed Dev Patel's brooding performance. And yeah. However, the final nominee and my winner is Timothée Chalamet for Dune 2. And if I had met Timothée Chalamet like on the street one day, I'd think to myself, yo, I'd beat this guy up. But after watching Dune 2, and I would get on my knees and worship him as the Lisan Al Gaib. That is the power of acting, right? Dune 2 is kind of perfect throughout, but it really goes Super Saiyan 2 when Paul takes the Water of Life and he gives the speech, the big speech, and that alone I think is Oscar worthy. So, Timothée Chalamet, first time Presh year-end wrap-up winner. Next, I'm going to the Best Actress category, and I don't want to say I fucked up, but I don't have five nominees for this. The reason could be, one, Hollywood doesn't make enough movies with women in lead roles. Two, I don't watch enough movies with women in lead roles. We can throw blame around all day, but the fact of the matter is, I just don't have five nominees for Best Actress. I have two. And that is going to be my first nominee is Zendaya for Challengers. Like I mentioned, I was really taken aback by Challengers and how insanely interesting and how vibrant it was. And Zendaya is a big part of that. And, yeah, I think she was just really good in it. But my winner is Demi Moore for The Substance. And it truly is like a performance that needs to be seen to be believed, because she is going full crazy. It is insanely enjoyable to watch her. What would I call it? Her downfall from the beginning of the movie to the end is incredible. So yes, Demi Moore, The Substance, that would be my winner. Now, part of the reason I mentioned those two caveats up front is possibly because I think Nicole Kidman is being, in the movie Baby Girl, is being touted as a Best Actress nominee. So she would have come here. And for Anora, Mikey Madison is being touted as a nominee, so she would have also been here. So, yeah. Then we get to Best Supporting Actor. And my first nominee is Chris Hemsworth for Furiosa. I really enjoyed him as Dementus. And he kind of stole the show in that entire movie. He and Anya Taylor-Joy were kind of co-leads. But he's the one who I really thought, okay, you know, he just plays the meathead in the Avengers. But now when he gets a chance to, like, flex his acting muscles a little bit, it's, you know, really enjoyable to watch him let loose. And, yeah, I really thought I really enjoyed him in Furiosa. My next nominee is Austin Butler for Dune 2. I was totally taken aback. Because early in the movie, we're introduced to Fade Rautha, Austin Butler's character, and I was blown away by him. If not for Timothée Chalamet, Butler would be my biggest surprise coming out of Dune 2. Yeah, I had never seen an Austin Butler movie before, but I watched Dune 2, and when I was on a plane a few months ago, I watched Elvis, and I thought, wow, this guy has it. I don't know what it is, but Austin Butler's got some juice with him. Right. My next nominee is Josh O'Connor for Challengers. And speaking about stealing the show, like Chris Hemsworth, Josh O'Connor was the standout for me in Challengers. He seems like kind of a shy, nerdy guy, but he plays a much more brash and like confident like guy in Challengers, and I really enjoyed that. If you listen to my review, I said that the movie Challengers kind of unpeels like an onion as it goes, each layer comes off, more things are revealed to you, and I thought Josh O'Connor's performance was very instrumental in that feeling. So yeah, I really enjoyed Josh O'Connor in Challengers. My next nominee, Javier Bardem in Dune 2. I went to watch this movie with my brother, and when we were discussing it afterward, he just kept referring to Bardem's character Stilgar as the Glazer, because anything Paul did, Javier Bardem would glaze him. Which means, I don't know, how can I explain to people who don't understand what glaze means? Like, he just championed everything Paul did. He was just very supportive of him, right? Javier Bardem, I thought he was funny. He was, like, energetic. He was really a very understated performance. Much less understated than Austin Butler and even Paul. But I think he conveyed quite a... not fatherly, like a well-respected presence. And I think that was very well done. So, yeah. Two Dune 2 nominees for Best Supporting Actor. But my winner, the final nominee and my winner, Denzel Washington in Gladiator 2. He is having a ball. I mentioned this in my review, but people sometimes confuse flamboyance for good acting. And in this case, his flamboyance is good acting. That's the type of character that he is, that he's playing, that would do that type of thing. And you really believe him, and He kind of steals a lot of scenes. He's kind of tangential to the main plot, but yeah, I just thoroughly enjoyed his performance, and yeah, I think this is going to be his, what, second or third Oscar? I don't know, but good luck to him at the Oscars. Right? Then Best Supporting Actress, which I thought was a lot easier to do than Best Main Actress. Again, this is probably because Hollywood gives supporting roles to women more so than lead roles. But, you know, let me put that to the side while I say Connie Nielsen for Gladiator 2 is my first nominee. You know, I spoke about that scene with Paul and his mother. This is his mother, Connie Nielsen. And the way that played that scene was beautiful. And yes, throughout the movie, she's very, again, understated. So it's not like a bombastic performance, but I really enjoyed her and her, her interactions with both Pedro Pascal and Paul Mescal. Then my second nominee is Kirsten Stewart for Love Lies Bleeding. Love Lies Bleeding is a romance between a bodybuilder and a like shy gym worker, and it turns into like a, there's like a mafia angle, which you know, I didn't care for, but I thought Kirsten Stewart was amazing in this movie, as she is in most movies. She's a perennial nominee for me. My next nominee is Margaret Qualley in The Substance, who was very good. Alright? It's just that Demi Moore eats her lunch. Right? Margaret Qualley, her performance was worthy of Best Supporting Actress, and I really enjoyed her in it, but you can't speak about that movie without saying, wow, Demi Moore just took it away. Right? But I do want to give Margaret Qualley her flowers, because she was also very good in it, and she deserves Best Supporting, well, to be nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Then we have my fourth nominee, Zendaya, for Dune 2. So this is actually her second nomination within this. She was nominated for Best Lead Actress and Best Supporting Actress for Dune 2. And Chani, her character, is kind of the voice of reason in Dune, and she plays it very well. I don't really have much else to say, because like her love story with Paul was very believable, was very like they had good chemistry. Yeah, that's really all I have to say about that. But my fifth nominee and my winner, Rebecca Ferguson for Dune 2. And she is amazing as Paul's mother, as like she's the de facto villain of the movie, making Paul become the Lisa Nalgai, her egging Paul on to take the water of life is, you know, the conflict of the movie, I would say. And she just plays it amazingly, and I really love her performance. So yes, then we get to Worst Picture, which, you know, some people may say that it's, you know, we should uplift people, we shouldn't point out when things are bad, but I believe differently. I think we should point out when things are bad, because that encourages those people to work harder and, you know, to make something better. So in 10th place, I have Kinds of Kindness, which I spoke about earlier. It's just didn't work for me. I gave it a 6 out of 10. In 9th place, I have Madam Web, which I mentioned before, which I gave a 5 out of 10. In 8th place, I have Rebel Moon Part 2, which I gave a 5. This is Zack Snyder's version of Star Wars, and the first one sucked hard. But I don't know why. I just kind of held out hope that Part 2 would be kind of good somehow. And Part 2 kind of sucked as well. And yeah, it's very unfortunate, because I'm a fan of Zack Snyder, but It just wasn't good, man. Then in 7th place I have Venom. 6th place I have Kraven, which both I've spoken about in the superhero segment. In 5th place I have Spaceman, which is an Adam Sandler movie where he goes into space and kind of has a relationship with a spider. Not relations like sexual relations, I mean like a real relationship as in he becomes friends with the spider. Like, and it's not like a small spider, it's a giant spider. And it's unclear if that's a hallucination or that's a real spider or whatever. But it's meant to be incredibly deep, but it's made by a shallow thinker who thinks that they're deep. Because this movie sucked balls. My God. I also gave it a 5. It was not good. In 4th place, I have Ricky Stenicky. It's a movie about three friends who, whenever they do something wrong, pin it on a guy, an imaginary friend named Ricky Stenicky. But years later, one of them is having a wedding and the wife wants to know why they didn't invite Ricky Stenicky. So they hire an actor to become Ricky Stenicky. And it's not a funny movie. It's trying very hard, but I didn't even crack a smile once. It's very average. It made me upset a little bit. The one thing I can compliment it on is John Cena totally commits to the bit, right? He doesn't think he's too good for this or that. He just dives head first in, you know, to doing his best. And I give him a thumbs up for that. But I give a thumbs down to the movie because it sucked. In 3rd place is Long Legs, which I spoke about, but I really should reiterate how disappointed I was in Long Legs because, like I said, Nicolas Cage, big fan, and to find out how awful it was no good. So Long Legs, also a 5. I don't know if I mention it, but Ricky Stenicky, also a 5. It's Only Kinds of Kindness, which was a 6, and 9 through 2 are 5s. And number 2 is Deadpool and Wolverine, which I spoke about as well. Very poorly made, unfunny, badly acted. That's really all I can say. And in 1st place, going back to back, because last year he made another movie which I gave a 0. In 1st place is Am I a Racist? Which, again, I gave a 0, but on my tracked account, you can only have 1 stars because they don't give 0 stars an option. But between you and me, it's a 0 star, right? So do you know who Matt Walsh is? Well, he's a right-wing ghoul who works for the Daily Wire, which is Ben Shapiro's network. If you don't know who Ben Shapiro is, he's also a right-wing ghoul, right? So like I said, he went back-to-back because last year he made a movie called Lady Ballers. Which was a transphobic piece of shit, right? And in this movie, it's about, how can I say, like, he doesn't meaningfully engage with what the people he's mocking have to say, right? If this was about a good faith person coming in to say, you know what, I believe that racism isn't as bad as people say, but, you know, I'm willing to listen and learn. You know, no one would have a problem with it, but he's deliberately being rude and attacking people and not trying to engage with them in any meaningful way. So, you know, it's a waste of time, honestly, to watch it, but I do it on behalf of you. I'm the real hero, if you think about it. But yeah, Matt Walsh sucks. Back-to-back, first place worst movie of the year. Now we get to the part that everyone's been waiting for, and that is Best Picture. Right? So in 10th place, I have Juror number 2, which I gave an 8 out of 10. And this is reportedly the final film by Clint Eastwood, and if so, it's a great way to go out. This movie is like a throwback to courtroom dramas of yesteryear. It's a tense, I guess it's a thriller, But it goes in ways that you don't really expect, and it's done in such a way that it's believable, even though it has such an insane premise. So I truly enjoyed Juror Number 2. The performances didn't really stick out to me, but the themes and the ideas of the movie were very good. In ninth place, I have Inside Out 2, which, again, like I mentioned in my surprise section, I did not expect it to be as good as it was, but 8 out of 10, strong movie. Can't do much worse than that. I mean, you can do much worse, sorry, I don't know why I said that. In eighth place, I have Monkey Man, another 8 out of 10. We've spoken about Monkey Man and how much I enjoyed it. I should mention the action as well. The action is really great and very well done for a first-time director. And yeah. In seventh place, I have a 9 out of 10. It's called Love Lies Bleeding. I spoke about Kirsten Stewart, and I really love this movie, which I already said before, but I want to reiterate that. Like I said, there's a weird, like, gangsterism element into it, which I don't think added much to the movie. Like, they could have done it they could have wrapped it in a neater bow, but genuinely incredible movie. I gave it a 9. Like I said, it's just missing that one kind of piece that, yeah. In sixth place, also a 9 out of 10, I have Challengers, which I've spoken about throughout this podcast. What can I say that I haven't said before? Yeah, it's the main thing is the chemistry. This movie falls apart without the actors. If, I don't want to say anyone else, but like if a different person were, if different people were acting as the leads, I don't think it would be as strong as it was. And I need to go back. I already said this, but I want to say it again. I want to shout out Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross for the soundtrack, because a lot of it is also built on the sound. Like, just a beautifully sounding movie. Right? In fifth place, we have The Substance, which, again, I spoke about it before, but Demi Moore is a aging lady who's quote unquote past her prime. And she takes something called the substance, which like makes a hole in her body, and a new person is born, right? And well, spoiler alert, I should have said that, right? A new person is born, and that's played by Margaret Qualley, and it's the interplay between her and the younger version of herself. They can't be alive at the same time, so they kind of fuck with each other. And yeah, it's a very interesting movie. Very. Gives you a lot to ponder afterwards. So, yeah, The Substance. In fourth place, I have Trap, another 9 out of 10. Like I said, people may not love it as much as I did, but Trap, I was very engrossed. You keep thinking, how is this guy gonna. Oh, I should give you the plot of the movie. So. There's a serial killer loose at a Taylor Swift style concert, and but it's actually a trap set up by the FBI to catch the killer. And we, I don't know, this is a spoiler, but we follow the killer and we try to see how he escapes. And I thought it was a very interesting movie. It made me laugh, it made me cry. Okay, it didn't make me cry. But it did take me through a range of emotions, and that's why I give Trap a 9 out of 10. Then we get into the top 3 of the year, which, if you've been listening, I actually mentioned a lot earlier. But my third movie, or my top 3 movie of the year, is Furiosa. Director George Miller, the mastermind behind the Mad Max movies, made Furiosa, and there are some incredible set pieces. It's like with Mad Max Fury Road, you have to wonder how no one died. It's shocking, it's exhilarating, it's just an incredible movie. I gave it a 10. At some point during the year, I thought of docking it, making it a 9, but no, I've stuck with my guns. I'm giving it a 10. Truly such a, incredible movie. Lots of themes involved, like about womanhood and growing and, toxic masculinity. There's a lot going on there. So, Furiosa, 10 out of 10 movie. My number two movie of the year, Gladiator 2. I also gave it a 10 out of 10. And what's to say that I haven't said in my review and throughout this pod? It's incredibly made, incredible set pieces, well acted. I don't know what else there's to say about Gladiator 2 that I haven't said. It's just a 10 out of 10 movie. And in first place, which again, you could have easily guessed this, Dune 2. It's like, I read this review that said something like, everything that in Dune 1, like, okay, a juggler. Dune 1 is the juggler throwing up the pin, and Dune 2 is catching those pins, magnificently catching those pins, because everything set up in the first movie pays off handsomely in the second movie. And I think I should have put Dune 1 as my biggest surprise of the year, because I thought it would be like, it's good, it's like an 8 or 9 out of 10, but it blew me away because how good it was, how engaging it was. Like, I've watched Dune like maybe 9 or 10 times this year. When I was on the plane, I rewatched it because just because I keep going back to the Paul scene after he drinks the water of life and he gives that speech at the Siege. Go back to and listen to my review of Dune if you want more. Before I sign off, I just wanted to say my favorite part of Dune and my favorite part, I guess, of movies this year is where there's like a cleric at the Siege says, "Mahdi, Mahdi, you must kill him and return his water to the well." And Paul says something like, "Do you think I'm stupid enough to deprive myself of the best of us? Do you smash a knife before you go into battle?" Right? Stilgar says, "Usul, take my life. This is the only way." And Paul says, "I'm pointing the way." That "I'm pointing the way" just rings in my head all the time. Incredible. What a moment. Like, I put my hands up in the theater when he did that, and I was like, "Oh, holy shit, this is the shit. Dune 2, we're going Super Saiyan with this." So, yeah. Thank you for listening. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, give a like, etc. Importantly, it needs to be a 5-star review. Please tell a friend. Tell that friend to tell a friend. Tell a family member. And in the comments, drop who you thought was the best movie of the year or any other thoughts you may have. Remember.